Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
Everybody, welcome to the latest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. It is the Mr. B Clothing podcast, actually. What's happening? Right now we're recording time, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, and there's a lot, there's some moving parts right now with Doc Sadler potentially being a front runner for the Southern Mississippi job. Full disclosure. This is a podcast. We record it. We put it online. This could be dated by the time you listen to it on Thursday morning. Having said that, I'm going to bring Brent Bloom, our columnist, NBA officiating extraordinaire, into the podcast. Bloom, what's up, my man?
I'm coming in here like Joey Crawford. I'm stealing the ball.
I saw you had a passionate tweet about officiating just a little bit
people
ago.
People are blaming Joey Crawford because Kevin Durant missed a free throw.
Why? Well, I haven't watched much of the playoffs, full disclosure.
Just quickly, because you got to get back to the real stuff here. Durant has the ball, makes the first free throw. They're down one. Crawford notices some sort of foul slash clock issue at the scores table, gives the ball to Durant, and then comes out like a madman, like the Kool-Aid man, running back to grab the ball from Durant once he was about to shoot the free throw, then went over to the scores table and discussed things. They give the ball back to Durant. He misses the second free throw. Oklahoma City loses by a point.
Is Kevin Durant blaming Crawford?
No, he didn't. I don't think he did.
Oh, okay.
But, Kevin, you're a 90% free throw shooter, and you're the MVP. Make the free throw.
Yeah,
it's a distraction. I know Joey Crawford can be more than the game at times, but you're an MVP. Make the free throw.
Wasn't it Doug Gottlieb who was just having like an aneurysm about Joey Crawford last year?
He's easy to pick on because he does some things where he's a bit of a clown.
Is he like the NBA's Hightower, Ed Hightower?
He's very dramatic. He's very dramatic. More of a Ted Valentine, TV Ted. Joey always finds himself in the middle of controversy.
Steve Wellmer?
Wellmer was good. But here's the thing about Crawford. Everybody thinks he should be fired from the NBA. I saw a lot of tweets today. It's like, you got rid of Sterling, now get rid of Joey Crawford.
Oh, come on.
But he's doing big games for a reason. If he was a poor official, he would not be doing playoff games. So somebody's rating him somewhere. High on the charts. And I think he does some strange things, but there's a reason why he gets the games in the first place. But anywho, back to Doc Sadler.
So, to Doc Sadler. Listen, again, I don't even want to get into it that much because I know this is going to be dated. I have information that I'm still confident in that he is a front runner for the Southern Mississippi job. We know that he interviewed earlier in the week Brad Underwood. Turn the job down today. That's now being confirmed by Stephen F. Austin. I heard that another candidate turned the job down today. Doc is sliding up on the list fast. Randy Peterson and Travis Hines, both fine reporters from the Ames Tribune, with Travis and Randy with the Des Moines Register, reporting that Doc has not had contact with Southern Miss. Take it what it is. I say stay tuned, and we can move on because, again, this is going to be dated. I say stay tuned. I don't think this is over. I'm not saying he's going to take the job. He's going to get the job, but I still believe in what I kind of threw out there earlier today.
Well, logically speaking, if one of the candidates turned the job down, and perhaps a couple of candidates have turned the job down, we know Doc was on the list to begin with.
Correct.
Put two and two together, I would think there would at least be some.
Doesn't mean he's going to.
Doesn't mean he's going to take it. Doc wants to be a head coach. I think it would be a good fit for him down there. But maybe
Doc bombed the interview and they don't want to give him the job.
You never know.
Who knows?
But in these coaching searches, you know, because you've been around a lot of them in your decade covering Iowa State, deception sometimes can be the name of the game.
Correct. So had a cool meeting today. We've got a lot in store here for the future of CycloneFanatic.com. I've never been more energized and just pumped up about the immediate future. So we're bringing back a version of the Cyclone Fanatic store here before too long.
Really?
Where we're going to have t-shirts, we're going to have gear, like a lot of like fun things. It's not going to be like, hey, a Cyclone Fanatic polo, nothing like that. So I thought you would appreciate this. We're going to have more details later. We're going to have some we're going to have big unveiling of it. Okay. What would you say, Bloom, if I told you we were going to make a That's Displacement t-shirt?
Oh, I would buy 100. Yeah, I would make it worth your while.
That's right. It's in the works.
No way.
Yeah.
See, I have not heard this until now.
No, you haven't.
You should see the joy on
this
my face.
This is raw reaction from Brent Bloom.
I feel like my place in this world is now cemented.
You know what it is?
I have done my duty.
This is a man making a difference, is what this is, with you and the officiating.
I seriously will buy 10 of those myself.
So we're also, and I actually got a look at this one today, and this one is BA, short for bad ass. We have to jump a few hoops for this one with trademarking and stuff. We're not doing anything illegal. We just have to get approved.
Sure.
We're creating a Baylor is Baylor is Baylor t-shirt. And like, so that's what we're going for with this new, with this new store and whatnot. Like, it's fun stuff. The best thing is, Bloom, we're going to let the Fanatics create shirts. We're going to have contests. It's going to be epic.
There's a home game with Baylor in football this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. This is great. Yeah, because I'll be honest, the store the first time around, I know we all like Cyclone Fanatic, but I'm not sure who would wear it other than you. In gray,
yeah,
and me,
a few people purchase. We
buy a Cyclone Fanatic polo, but you give me a That's Displacement t-shirt.
Oh yeah, the whole family.
I'm wearing that everywhere.
Actually, no, the guys we're working with, and we're gonna unveil them properly here in a few weeks. But they so we've got posters, like really cool. He's got an amazing looking Jack Trice poster, like of actual Jack Trice. I mean, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. All kinds of awesome stuff. We got bumpers, and it's fun stuff. I mean, it's kind of like, we kind of want to be like the Iowa State Ray Gun now.
Sure.
We're just going to go balls to the wall, and we're going to allow the Fanatics, we're going to have contests for the Fanatics to create slogans. So we're going to do, like, commemorative t-shirts for every year, so you know how, like, it'll have, like, the football schedule on the back, and then it's going to be like, hey, you know, Mangino Nation or whatever the theme is. Going into the season, we're going through trademark, doing
sure.
all that. Can't have student athletes on it because we're, you know, you can't have Threesis of Nazareth on there. I mean, we could, but we're not. We want to play by the rules. We're not going to swear. We're not going to do anything like that. But we want to get creative and have some fun with this.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
I'm pumped up about that. Okay, you're an NBA guy.
Yes,
I am not. So did you read that thing? And listen, we're not trying to hype Hoiberg to the NBA. Clearly, we want Fred to stay here.
Obvs.
But I also think that it's kind of stupid for us to do this podcast here, the Mr. B Clothing podcast, and not talk about hot topics. Golden State Warriors, we've heard this for a couple of weeks now, that Mark Jackson did not get along with management, with the new ownership, I guess I should say, and that he gone, regardless of how they did in the playoffs this year. That's clearly going to happen now. There was
a
published report in the Mercury.
The San Jose paper, I believe.
The San Jose paper linking Fred Hoiberg to the job. Not linking him to the job, but saying he would be their number one choice. What do you think about that, Blue?
Well, a couple things. The Clippers are now up 3-2 on the Warriors.
Yeah.
And I think if the Warriors have a first-round exit, Mark Jackson will have a tough time surviving. Because it is a new ownership group, and it's kind of gone under the radar because of the Donald Sterling stuff, but they've had their own issues with secret
like
audio taping.
Right? Yeah.
Mark Jackson got in an unfriendly discussion with Brian Scalabrine. Remember Brian Scalabrine used to play for the Celtics?
Yeah.
He was thought of as a really bright assistant coach. He was on the Warriors staff this year, but they had a falling out, and essentially Mark Jackson fired him. And so Scalabrine left. He had another assistant coach illegally, or not, maybe not illegally, but management had another assistant coach audio tape Mark Jackson. It's really ugly, and I would be surprised if Jackson hangs on because this is the final year of his contract. So if that job's open, that's an attractive job because you've got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson locked up because they're still in their rookie contracts. And those guys are really good. That's a fun backcourt. You also have Harrison Barnes, who's
That's
as
interesting.
Much He's an up and comer, and they've got some young guys there that they can be good for a while, and they play an up tempo style. Dare I say they play the hoyball style? So
some fighting words right there.
It's a job. Now, if you were to compare it to like the Timberwolves job, obviously geographically, the Timberwolves would make more sense for Fred. But if you want to win, the Warriors significantly more attractive than the T-Wolves.
Should Iowa State fans be rooting for the Indiana Pacers right now?
That's another great question.
That's the one that really in the back of my mind is, even after Fred signed the deal, that's the job that I was kind of watching, this tank job. And again, I don't watch much NBA. I'm very upfront about that. But it's possible to avoid the Pacers collapse conversation, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Should Iowa State fan, does that guy have a shot, Bloom, to keep his job, or is he gone?
He's got an outside shot, but he's on the way out, I think. If they lose to in the first round of the Hawks with that collapse that they've had and the amount of infighting they've had between players, they had two players get in a fight right before the playoffs.
Yeah.
And just very little leadership shown from that coaching staff.
That's what happened to my guy, Roy Hibbert?
He's a dumpster fire.
It's my guy, man.
I don't know what happened to him. He's fallen off the face of the earth.
Dude, that Sports Illustrated curse.
It is crazy.
What that cover curse. He was on the cover not too long ago.
I've got into a huge discussion about a month ago over if Roy Hibbert's a top five center in the NBA with Adam Gray. And I'll give Gray credit. He said he's not. I said he's on the out, right on the perimeter there. Gray was right. Right now, he's not top 20. I have no idea what happened to Roy Hibbert. But that team is just going the wrong way, and I think Frank Vogel is going to lose his job. So you look at the Pacers as a destination and Fred's compatibility there. Played for the Pacers, of course, for a long time. Was coached by Larry Bird, who's now the team president. It's a smaller city. Again, there's some factors there where you look and go, well, Fred would be a natural fit for them to target. All that said, it's still up to the mayor to decide what he wants to do,
right.
And he seems pretty steadfast on being in Ames. But if you think that he's not going to be a target for any of these jobs, you're fooling yourself, so just get ready for it.
Yeah, it's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over, and it won't be over until all these jobs are full.
I know he signed the new contract, but these NBA jobs can pay him double.
Yeah.
And so if the money's important, and I think any of us who are human, money is important, it makes you wonder. You throw in money and the opportunity to win.
Just the jobs that we just threw out are good jobs.
Those two are really good jobs.
The Pacers are the top seed in the East.
And they've got young guys that'll be good for a while.
Yeah. So again, we're not throwing gas on the fire here. We're not trying to do that. It's just I think that needs to be talked about, because the last time we got together to do this, Bloom, those jobs weren't relevant in this conversation.
Well, like I would rather take the Pacers job than the Knicks job. I would rather take the Warriors job than the Knicks job. And it sounds like Steve Kerr is going to go to the Knicks.
Less pressure.
But if you give me a top five list of jobs right now, I think the Pacers are definitely in the top five, and I'd say the Warriors are in the top 10.
Absolutely.
This is not the Atlanta Hawks offering Lon Kruger a job back in 98. Okay,
yeah.
This would be a different situation where these jobs with this good of chance of winning don't come up that often. So I think you do have to at least consider it. I don't think Fred will take them, but just be on the lookout for them to be in the conversation.
Why'd you have to throw dirt on Lon Kruger in this conversation? I mean,
he struggled with the Hawks.
You got a knee tad boil in the junk right now while you're at it? Miles Turner, 7-footer, one of the top prospects in the country, 7'2", 240, according to his ESPN profile. He's going to the Big 12. He committed to Texas earlier today, chose the Longhorns over Ohio State, Kansas, and Duke. That things just escalated pretty quickly at the top of the Big 12, Bloom. They are right up there with anybody, I would say.
Maybe the favorite in the Big 12.
Yeah, they might be, it's hard to say that with Bill Self's history, but they had everybody coming back.
Everybody.
Anyways. And now you add this guy to the mix.
I don't know where he fits in their starting lineup, because that's a team already with Cam Ridley, who is the big guy.
I would rather have this kid than Cam Ridley.
I don't know. Here's the deal with guys.
He is the I was going to call him the Doughboy, but
but Turner, 7-footers out of high school, they can be dominant like Joel Embiid. But I sometimes think Embiid's the exception and not the rule. You look at a guy like Chris Walker, who went to Florida this year, was the top ranked center or one of the top-ranked centers in high school, didn't really do much.
Yeah.
Because big guys have a different learning curve. He's a really good player. I just wonder if he fits in as a starter, because you have Cam Ridley and Jonathan Holmes, both big guys returning. They could go monstrous up front and play all three of them. But that's a pretty good team now, with Felix at the guard and also...
They were going to be good anyway.
What's his face? Not Thomas, the point guard. It is Thomas. Is it Thomas?
Felix, you got...
The freshman. It was a freshman this year. Isaiah Taylor. Yeah,
he was very impressive. I thought he was one of the more like surprising guys in the league.
I think they're top 10 for sure next year. I don't think Iowa State is, but I think Kansas is probably 8 to 10 as well. So those two are going to be in the mix.
Seldon's
back. Nadir Tharp's back. If he quits,
we got our boy Perry Ellis.
Perry Ellis is back, and they signed Rashad Vaughn's teammate, Kelly Oubre, from Las Vegas.
They're going to be good.
They're going to be good, too. Nadir Tharp's got to quit taking Instagram photos with naked ladies, though. Remember that from a month ago?
That's what happens. That's what happens. If I had Instagram when I was that age, I would have taken pictures. Obviously, that's not true. But
Oklahoma's going to be good.
Juan Kruger.
Everybody back for
Oklahoma
the most part.
State will drop off, I would think. TCU and Tech will be who they are.
I think TCU will be better. That's still not very good.
What's Baylor's deal?
Austin's gone.
Yeah,
Jefferson's gone. So is...
They're dropping off.
Brady Heslip.
They drop off. There's no way. I don't care who they have coming in.
I don't see them being a... They've still got okay players.
That's an NIT team.
But borderline NCAA.
NIT. When you don't have that elite talent. And I love Baylor. Everybody knows this. I love Baylor. I love him. I'm going to make a T-shirt about him. I love him so much. But they drop off to the NIT next year. So, okay, right now, league power rankings. We've got I've got Kansas 1. I'm not budging from that. I don't care about today's news.
I'll agree.
Kansas 1, Texas 2, Iowa State 3, or Oklahoma 3?
I'd still put Iowa State ahead of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I probably would, too.
Pure talent level.
Yeah, with Jones. Yeah. That would be the way to go, but I think a lot of people probably... Yeah, I don't know, though. The perception of Iowa State in this league is completely different now. So they're going to start getting the benefit of the doubt as opposed to being that, if you got a couple teams locked up, you slide somebody ahead of the Cyclones. I mean, Hoiberg, those days are gone.
And Yang's going to get the all-star treatment this offseason. It's going to pick up steam. You get to September, October, there's going to be some All-American chatter around him.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
So now he's the headliner that they didn't really have last year, because you look at Iowa State from a year ago and you go, well,
yeah, because it wasn't
all those guys are gone. You're right.
Did you, I'm good on football. Do you need anything? Or I'm good on basketball. I want to move to football. Are you good on basketball? Or do you need anything? You good?
Who else in the Big 12, real quick? K-State still got Foster back. They're still 5 or 6, I think, in the league. That's a good team.
Yeah.
They don't really lose a whole lot. And then, otherwise, I think those top four are separating themselves from the rest. Going to be a good year again in the Big 12.
Best league in the country?
I was looking this up. They're close. They got to be close. The last Big 10 player, I was looking at the rivals' rankings. The Big 10 has had two guys in the last 8 years in the top five nationally in recruiting rankings go to a Big 10 school. Both went to Ohio State. One of them was Solinger.
Mm-hmm.
The other, Byron Mullins.
Really?
But it's just interesting that the top talent now, this is 2 years in a row where the Big 12 will get one of the top two guys, as they had.
Well, and Cliff Alexander,
too. Cliff Alexander's right up there, too. So the Big 12 is starting to get talent again.
It's
this is
like
a good
league.
It's
more like the old days, you know, when McDermott was here. Because that was when I thought the league was at its best.
Yeah, Beasley, Durant, back-to-back years.
Yeah. Also basketball recruiting nuggets. Most of you already know this if you're tuning into our podcast. Hollis Cook, sophomore, Oregon State transfers coming to town this weekend. I would what's his name at 247 likes to do the percentage. I'd say a 60-70% chance Iowa State ends up with that young man.
Seems like a natural fit.
Yep. Ryan Anderson, Boston College transfer. He'd have to sit out a year. He's a senior. Cook would have to sit out a year again. I'm 50-50 on that one. Maybe I'd say more like 30-40%, actually.
If Anderson's goal is to win, that team, I know they'll be good next year, but you think of the seniors on that club, mm-hmm. you would have Anderson, Niang, McKay, Nader, Monte Morris would be a junior, Naz Long would be a senior, Matt Thomas would be a junior. That team would be, and then you never know because things happen in basketball, but not only is Iowa State set up good for next year, but it really until Monte Morris is gone, this is elite level stuff for Iowa State. This is an unprecedented run, I think, that they've ever had because they've only made four straight NCAA tournaments, or three straight, just twice, and one of those was the last 3 years. They could make four straight for the first time this year. And you're talking about unprecedented stuff for the basketball program, so there's good reason to be excited.
No, I just from what I've been able to put together, there's just more competition for Anderson with some of those East Coast schools. But I think Cook, I mean, I talked to him the other night. He was really appreciative of the fact that Iowa State was the first to offer. Or not, I don't even know if they've offered him. I guess he didn't say it that way. He's coming on an official visit, so I assume that they have. But he was really pleased with the fact that Iowa State was the first to be on him after he announced his transfer.
When you look at a guy average 8.5 points and you go, "That was at Oregon State. What's the deal?" Good sized kid at 6'3", can play both guard spots, and he's a shooter.
46%
46% shooter. Can handle the ball.
Well, you know Fred's going to be all over that.
And those guys love multiple ball handlers on the floor at one time. That's why Monte Morris, DeAndre Kane play a lot together. If you can have more than one point guard on the floor, it makes the offense run even better.
So it makes me – I'm excited, too. But did you read the thing I did with Clayton Custer?
And you got Custer there, too. I haven't mentioned that guy.
But I thought when I asked him how are you going to be used, and he explained how Hoiberg explained his role on next year's team, that got me a little bit – boy, that gets you excited to watch a team like
sure.
that, though. Because I think Clayton brings an element that they didn't have last year, because that's another – he's a different player than DeAndre. I'm not saying I'd rather have Clayton Custer than DeAndre, but he's a very Monte Morris-like mm-hmm. guy. They're actually kind of similar players. I don't know if they'll have the same career, but coming out of high school, they look like similar prospects.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And if you look at really successful NCAA tournament teams, teams that don't turn the ball over, and this Iowa State team next year, again, is going to really take care of the ball, and that's vital.
Let's go to football.
Football.
Did you happen to go over my power rankings?
I saw that. I saw the dichotomy between the offense and the defense.
Yeah. Well, I guess my thing is not to – I don't want to rehash what I wrote in the article because I hope most of you read it. Well, I just wanted to get your opinion. Did any – when you read through that, did you go, okay, I probably wouldn't have this group that high or I would probably switch these two? Did anything – glaring stand out to you? I have a feeling I know if I could redo it again and you told me, okay, Williams, you have to make one change, I would consider putting tight end a little higher.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me because I think EJ Bibbs is probably the best player on the team. But that's it after him. I mean, you got a walk-on and two guys who have never played before. So from the depth perspective, it really knocked the tight end position down, and I went with the offensive line at number two. That would be the explanation I would give to some haters of the article. But what did you think? What was your reaction?
I pretty much agreed with you. It was weird seeing receivers as the top-ranked position group
mm-hmm.
because that's been an area of weakness for...
like a decade?
40 years-ish. Iowa State hasn't had a receiver drafted in the NFL since 1985. So think about that. I think Bundridge could get drafted. I think he's that good if he would catch the ball.
But he has to catch the ball, obviously, but go across the middle. He's never shown that he can go across the middle. And even in the spring game, I don't put a lot of stock in the spring game, but, I mean, what did he drop, like three or four in that thing?
And he got himself open, but then do the other part.
I think if Quentin could show a pro scout that I can go across the middle, catch a football, I think he could go after his junior year even. I think it's crazy. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that he's that type of a player potentially.
Just think if he hangs on to some of the balls he dropped last year. He definitely sets the touchdown record, I think. He dropped some critical balls. Now, a lot of them get forgotten because they were in losing efforts. But between him, you obviously Lazard's the elephant in the room. I don't know if he starts, though, because they're pretty deep. Montgomery's there. You've got Jarvis West in that slot role. You've got Daly and Harris, who have been really impressive, and they like the Ajimobi kid. So that's a deep position. I agree they're number one. It's just weird seeing that after the last 20 years of Iowa State receivers. Not to kill my guy Jack Whitford. We wouldn't want to do that.
We love Jack Whitford.
But offensive line at number two is where you had him, right?
Yeah.
That's weird, too, with the bad year they had last year. If you look, though, with the depth and the experience they have, I think you have to put him number two. I really couldn't find much argument in that group. Maybe tight end up a spot. I think the defensive backs could be better than you gave them credit for.
Well, I don't know.
But that's dicey.
You know, I mean, you're breaking in a lot of guys back there. And with the way Wally plays defense or sets up the defense, you're only as good as the group in front of you.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, for the linebacker's sake, do you trust the line to hold its gaps? For the secondary, I mean, I think that Broomfield and Washington were a hell of a lot better than they looked last year, but I think you had a bunch of linebackers who weren't holding their gaps.
I will say this. I think athletically they're better at safety this year.
Yeah.
I love Jacquez and Dion, but they weren't overly fast guys, so maybe they can cover up some holes with speed. I do like Nigel Tribune. I think he's going to be a lockdown guy starting this year. But that other corner spot, you just hope Sam Richardson or Ken Lynn decide they want to take it. Both have just kind of been there for 3 years. They've been around forever.
I think that they, when you factor the two together, it can be a fairly consistent.
I don't know
if it's consistently good either. I don't, and that's not a slight at them. It's just they're okay players, I think. I don't think that either one of them are all conference. I don't see Jeremy Reeves type talent with either one of those guys, but I think they can be adequate too. I don't think they're going to kill you.
The problem is with this league, all and even the weapons coming back at receiver across the Big 12, you need five or six defensive backs that are good, or else you can get torched. So, yeah, they're going to need some of those guys that we haven't even heard of to be factors there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, did you see the David Ubbin Big 12?
I didn't see our good buddy Ubbs. Where's he working now? Fox Sports South or something?
Yeah, he's with it's kind of like the same type gig that Keeler has.
Fox Sports Kansas City.
But Ubbs, I've seen him on television.
Ubbs is on TV.
Yeah, there's like a Big 12 recap show that's I've seen that, but hold on 1 second. I got to pull it up. Ubbs came out with his top 10, like his power rankings. It was a good read. I really enjoyed it, actually. I'll tell you right now, where do you think he had Iowa State? Just throw it out there right now. Where would you guess for your power rankings post-spring, where would you guess that Iowa State would be?
9.
That's what I thought. That's exactly where I thought with Kansas at 10. Ubbs has the Cyclones at 8.
Really?
Yeah. West Virginia at 9, your boy Holgorsen.
He's got a lot of people back, though.
It's Holgorsen, though, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
That does surprise me. Is Ubbs aware of the defensive line?
Yeah.
Musical chairs.
He actually mentioned Brandon Jensen coming back, though, which I think is a bigger deal than most people think. Because he's a... From a gap control standpoint, he's the most valuable of the three that were gone. Would you agree with that?
Most sound.
From a gap control standpoint.
Right. Not going to get sacks.
Not sacks. Gap control.
I think that's fair.
And
definitely,
with the defense they're going to have next year, I'd almost rather have that.
Otherwise, they could have just been gashed up the middle.
Correct. I mean, it's, what does it say, like, in those first few games, the non-cons, like against Iowa, Kansas State's what, your second game this year?
Right. Right.
It's important.
Even North Dakota State, they run the ball like K-State does.
That's what I'm saying. I would rather have Jensen in those early games than I would rather have Ko or Irving. And I'm sorry, and the David Irving thing, I didn't want to get into it last week with Gray because Gray'd probably defend the stop sign thing. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen covering sports.
Irving picking up the stop sign?
Yes.
Or Iowa State's reaction to it.
Irving picking up the stop. Iowa State had to kick him off, in my opinion.
No other choice.
I mean, this is when your president comes out in that press conference the next day and says what he says, and you've got a starting football player in the middle of the riot holding up the stop sign, smiling with pride. To me, that is one of the more mind-boggling stories I've ever covered. You don't have to commentate on this.
Well,
if you
no,
don't
I just
want.
See,
I just,
but seeing the picture, you just you know the phrase that's been overused. Shake my head, SMH. That's what you did. There was no other reaction. You just kind of went, "Oh my god!" What do you think Paul Rhodes' reaction when he got that phone call?
Oh my gosh!
Because he's a guy. Irving was really talented,
but
and
he
that's
never
what.
Showed
but
it.
He just he couldn't get over the mental hurdle on the field, or I guess sometimes off the field.
You're right.
And you hope that they're more cohesive maybe now in that defensive line because you got guys who want to be there, and hopefully that'll help. But
yeah, that helps until you get hurt.
Yeah, and then you lose a guy. They just don't have much there.
No, they don't.
Jensen, I'm glad Jensen's back because he's going to have to play a lot of snaps.
They better outscore a lot of teams. And hopefully Wally can get it to their – I don't think they're going to be a good defense, but – it's possible they could be a ball-hawking defense.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was just going to say. They didn't force a lot of turnovers last year like they had the previous three or four. Maybe they can get back to that. Turnovers are sometimes coachable, but I think a lot of times it's dumb luck. And maybe next year they'll get some dumb luck turnovers where teams are fumbling the ball or they're throwing it to the wrong place.
If they can get back to that, kind of like 2009, that type defense.
Right.
Where they're not good. We're not going to sit here and say that this is going to be a top half of the league defense. It's not. If you think that right now, dump some cold water over your head. It ain't happening.
They will give up some yardage.
Yes. But if they can get to the point where they're getting a couple turnovers per game, I think this offense is going to be good. I really do. When I wrote about the offensive line, I saw a couple people killed me on Twitter. But I'm not saying I'm buying the offensive line, but I'm encouraged by what I have heard and seen from the offensive line. And it's common sense, too, when you have these guys are all bigger, faster, stronger. They barely lost anybody. I think Farniok's an all-Big 12 center. He won't get it, but I think he's that good. I think that Gannon is your blueprint Iowa State lineman. What you have to do, you got to develop the guy. Mm-hmm. He played early because of injuries, but my theory is that Gannon is going to reap the benefits of all that those beatings that he took younger in his career this year. I think he's an outside chance, like a seventh round draft pick when it's all said and done, based off of Iowa State's track record with the draft and the Carter Bykowskis of the world.
Yep.
Took Carter Bykowski 5 years to be, a good Big 12 lineman. You look at Campos, he's way ahead where Gannon was when Gannon had to play as a freshman. So I think that the depth is there because of the licks that they took last year. And I don't think those guys last year sucked. I thought it was simply a domino effect of Farniok goes down, and then these guys who shouldn't be in there are in there, and then they're getting
hurt.
And then you're like your 12th lineman
and
all of a sudden.
You end up with Oni Amoyla at 270 pounds having to...
Jacob Dunning? Remember when he got trotted out there against Kansas State? He looked like a wide receiver out there.
I'll tell it to anybody who will listen. Aaron Wimberly is one of the top five tailbacks I've ever seen talent-wise at Iowa State. If he can just not take the licks that he took at times and stay healthy, that guy can be electric. And we saw him against Texas. He was probably the best player on the field that night, Wimberly. And then when even against Kansas, he had that 57-yard touchdown reception out of the backfield. Wimberly kind of gets lost here, but he can be a really, really good player out of the backfield. You couple that with Bundridge making some catches, then the next question is, who's throwing the ball and how accurate can they be?
That's what it all comes down to.
In college football, on offense, is 75% your quarterback.
I heard yesterday that Wimberly actually could be a pro. If he shows some durability, from a special team standpoint, that guy at
kick return and punt return, there's no reason that guy couldn't be a third down back, too.
Yeah.
He is the fastest guy in pads that I've seen at Iowa State in the backfield. I mean, he's faster than Darren and Troy Davis, faster than Ennis Haywood. He is great with the ball. He just has a tough time right now taking multiple shots.
He's 174 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some giddy up.
Devondrick Neely, we don't need to spend too much time on this, but he may go down as being the most important player on the team next year other than a quarterback.
And you wonder, we had the five-headed monster at tailback last year. If that was a hindrance at the end of the day, now you've got two or three guys who are going to see the carries. If they stay healthy, you finally have that continuity there. We're not rotating guys every other series. That might help too.
Yeah. No, I think that that's I think that's some fine analysis right there, and it absolutely too. And I, talking to a lot of those guys too, I think that there was some frustration as to how, you know, how the running back position has been managed the last couple of seasons.
I'll say this: Iowa State is going to give up some points, but some of the games they're going to be in this year are going to be entertaining because they will be. This isn't going to be like 09 where games are 20-16. No, they're going to be some high scoring affairs.
I agree, and people forget too, Bloom. And listen, this is not a moral victories type. Don't throw that garbage at me if you're listening to this. This is a fact that, what, 8 times last year, 8 of those losses, I believe, were single digits.
Was it that many?
Hold on. Or 5. Let me see it here. So we've got Northern Iowa, 1. Iowa, 2. Texas, 3. Texas Tech, 4. Yeah. Baylor, they lost by 64.
By 110.
TCU, 5. Yeah, 5 of the 9 losses were single digits. So I think last year the losses, the ugly ones were ugly.
Yep, and they stick in your mind.
Yeah. But my point is, that I think the quarterback thing clearly, I mean, if one of those guys can grasp it, figure out, and be good, not adequate, but good, this could be a bowl team. If that doesn't happen, it's not happening. I'm not trying to put too much pressure on one guy, but we're talking about offense and outscoring and all that crap. You can't do that without a quarterback. So one of those guys has to step up and be the man. I think it's Rohatch. I'm not counting out Sam. Not at all. I just, based off of how the spring played out, they can say whatever they want. I watched the spring game, and I watched one guy take the majority of the reps with the ones. He looks like the starting quarterback.
You and I both saw that. I've had a couple people ask me, what about Lanning? I think he's a clear third. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that was weird, though, how they did the spring game, though, because Richardson really didn't play
didn't
until
play.
Like 20 minutes into
I did not understand it, but I'm sure there was reasons for
it. But if you're going to play, if you're going to start a guy not named Grant Rohatch in week one, wouldn't you feel more comfortable with Sam Richardson?
Oh, no doubt. 100 times
out
of 100.
But, you know, we're not in practice. I mean, maybe Joel Lanning's lighting them up. I was shocked when Mark Mangino told us that Lanning was splitting snaps with those guys. Nothing against Joel. It's just you're going up a couple veterans here.
If I had to bet a clothing item for Mr. B, I would bet on Rohatch.
Yeah. I would bet 10 clothing items for Mr. B's. Yeah, that's right.
And a That's Displacement t-shirt.
But those are going to be sick. I'll even wear one.
Well, will it be a guy with his arms up in the air?
Well, we thought about actually creating an official and somehow getting your face.
I don't want to be. Nobody wants to see my face on there.
But I told Gray, we were talking about it today, because Gray was wanting to do one with, like, he had an idea to get, like, my face. And I'm like, dude, nobody wants to see my emblems. Because not outside of, like, the people, nobody knows who we are.
Yeah, no, and that's not their loss, because no. I wouldn't want to know.
I would like it to be. We also kicked around like creating a Cyclone Fanatic mascot. Like, what would a cartoon Cyclone Fanatic look like? In like creating shirts with like air bubbles with this Cyclone Fanatic guy saying different things. I think that'd be good times.
Gosh, well, yeah.
Boy, this
so many possibilities.
So many possibilities with our new Cyclone Fanatic clothing line. Did you as we wrap this thing up, we just got back from vacation. Will you and your lovely fiance ever be going on another vacation with the Williamses?
Oh, I'd be for it. Did
you have an all right time?
I did. I mean, there were some interesting happenstances, like trying to kayak with a tour guide that couldn't hear.
Yeah. I haven't told that story yet. You want to tell it?
Well, you're a lot more descriptive, but feel free. I just, of things in life where you need your hearing, I would think leading a group of 8 kayakers into the ocean would be a good one.
Here's how it went down, Fanatics. So, you know, when you get on vacation, you have a list of things that you kind of want to get accomplished.
You could just sit at the pool and beach all day, but eventually you want to do, you're there for a week.
My deal was I wanted to go on this sailboat ride. Because I had done this before in the same out of the same marina, and it was a great time. You just sit there and drink on a boat,
and you talk with the sail guy,
captain.
The captain.
Yep. And it was lovely. That was my favorite thing that we did all week. My wife's pretty indifferent. She likes to sailboating. So we pretty much had accomplished what we wanted to accomplish on night like one or two or whatever. Well, the Blooms here wanted to go kayaking.
I was highly rated on
like
Yelp or TripAdvisor.
TripAdvisor, I believe. So we're the last day we're there. We get onto this kayaking trip. And we get there. And so we're getting all like saddled up in our kayaks ready to go. And the tour guide goes, well, if I can't hear you, wave your arms really like outrageously. He goes, yeah, because I'm completely deaf in my left ear. Chances are I'm not going to hear you. I got to lip read everything you say. So we're like, all right, whatever. That's fine. Hopefully we won't need him. Well, so we start going through these mangroves and whatever. And he leads us out into the ocean.
The ocean.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, we got like white caps from like 30, 40 mile per hour winds here too. And we were in the back of the pack because us four were kind of just screwing around and we got behind. There's no way, Bloom, if I was like getting eaten by a shark,
that guy,
if I'm waving my arms, that guy's not doing anything to help me.
There's no way. He couldn't hear you.
No.
And he was he couldn't see us either.
It's nothing against deaf people, but I'm just like, we're sitting there the whole time being like, dude, like, perhaps you need an assistant on your kayak to communicate with the people whose lives are in your hands here.
Yeah, luckily we made it.
We did. That'd
have been a tough way to go.
So on that trip, though, these like little mosquitoes were biting me. Bloom, the Noceums, we found out is what they're called. Still itchy. That happened like almost two full weeks ago to me. Are you still itchy from those things?
I've pretty much recovered, but those are like silent. You don't really notice them.
It's like the radon of bugs.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, like 5 days later.
You look like a poison ivy patch.
Yeah, well, and it made it. It was interesting, too, because we had like a really. It was a group of 10 people.
And, on the kayaking excursion.
And we had Captain Kayak.
Don't be this guy.
Yeah. So here's a guy you don't want to be, Fanatics. If you're going on a kayaking trip. So this guy, he's got like a full beard, good thick beard, nice looking beard, I thought. And he just like douses the beard with sunscreen. So he's got dark hair. It's not like he's blonde or something. Like dark hair. But all you
just
can see
is
the
white.
Yeah, just the patches of sunscreen all over this guy's beard. Anyways, you know, he's rocking his Columbia gear, and he's got, you know, he's got like his canteen. He's got all this like really fancy, and he's talking big with the deaf tour guide. They're having all these conversations about all these kayaking excursions that they've been on. Meanwhile, his wife. So we're going down like we're going through a mangrove, we're underneath this tunnel, and he's like swearing at his wife because she's steering in the wrong direction.
Not keeping up.
Yeah, he's cussing at her. And you can tell his wife her life is just absolutely nothing like she thought it would be.
She is in it for the money.
With Captain Kayak.
With Captain Kayak.
Captain Kayak is probably like an engineer who gets like 6 weeks of vacation every year, and he and his engineer buddies go kayaking.
Just so they can talk about it, like, I kayak down in the Great Gulf.
Yeah. So, like, at the end, though, you and Ashley, my wife is Ashley for you listeners, Bloom and Ashley were, because you get going through these tunnels and you all get separated. So it was me and Crystal, Bloom's fiance, and I told Crystal, I go, I'm sorry, I'm getting the hell out of here because I wanted to pass Captain Kayak. At the end, I wanted to blow right by him at the end.
He's the type of guy who brags about at age 48 his hitting streak in softball.
Yeah. He's Uncle Rico.
Yep.
On
exactly.
What was that movie? Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
Classic. Captain freaking Kayak.
But he wouldn't allow it.
No.
He was going to finish second.
In my defense, there were two of them. I was in a single. And by the time I decided I was created this friendly or not so friendly competition for me because I genuinely wanted to beat the guy and I was going to go Earnhardt and put him in the wall if
right.
I had to because I was tired of him swearing at his wife. I can't take that. You want to swear at your wife behind closed doors? That's none of my business. But don't do it in front of me. That bothered me. Like it really did bother me. It was ticking me off the whole time.
Yeah, miserable people.
Ugh.
But they wanted to tell everybody about their Captain Kayak.
Captain Kayak. Couple other vacation tales. the what about that guy? So we're getting ready to go out one night, and a guy catches a shark
right where we were swimming.
And it's a big shark. This was not a baby. I mean, this was a big daddy, like a 100-pound shark, according to the guy who caught it. So me and Crystal and Ashley run down there because we want to take a – and Bloom, you stayed up in the condo. What was up with that? Were you scared?
I wasn't scared of it.
You seemed to be scared like a child.
I watched National Geographic. I've seen Shark Week. I know what one looks like. I didn't get to see one up close. I had a problem with the guy catching a shark. The shark's just trying to be a shark.
He was fishing, and he had a shark on the end. Like, it's not his fault. The shark took the bait.
You are a fisherman. What fun is that? So that guy, it's like Captain Kayak. All he could say is, I caught a shark. Look at me. That's what fishing is. Now, if you want to catch a shark and eat it because you're hungry, that's one thing. They threw the shark back in the water, didn't they?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well, I mean, it's the thrill.
Just so you could brag to your buddies you caught a shark. I get it.
Here's my deal. The difference between hunting and fishing. Full disclosure. I am from Southwest Iowa. Everybody hunts.
It's the epicenter of
everybody fishes.
Outdoorsmen.
You know what, though, Bloom? Never been hunting in my life. I can't do it.
Interesting.
I cannot shoot a deer. Now, I don't judge people who do. I'm fine with it. My wife and I are big animal rights people. We're not PETA crazy, but we're big animal rights people. Ashley's dad is a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with hunting, if you kill the deer, eat the meat.
I agree with that.
Eat the meat.
Don't just kill it.
Correct. Don't just kill it and then mount it. Kill it and eat the meat. I'm fine with that. With fishing, the difference between the two is when you catch the fish, I mean, you can throw the fish back and it's not going to die. Like this guy did with the shark.
Is that fun? Is that? Yeah. I'm not a fisherman.
Oh, it's a joy.
But the guy, for the 6 days we were there, he would have his pole planted on the beach at 7 in the morning, and he would be there till 7 at night, just sitting there trying to catch. He caught a shark and a stingray while we were there.
That stingray was even creepier than the shark. That shark's not going to bite me. That stingray, you step on it. Woo.
That doesn't seem like a vacation to me. Like that.
He drank a lot of Miller Lite.
Yeah,
I watched.
He did.
I went down to talk to him that one time, man. Those were a couple of cool dudes. I appreciated them. That's the best thing about that area of Florida is there's fishermen off the shore everywhere, and you can go find a fisherman, and you can sit there and talk with those guys for hours.
I respect people who do, but I'd rather chase a white golf ball.
Well, that's fine. We all have different interests. Mm-hmm. I really, you know what I enjoy the most about fishing? Beer. I got my country music, and it's just quiet. Like, I put my cell phone away, usually bring Dirks with me. He's really good. He enjoys fishing. And it's more just a time to get away and be outdoors. Yeah,
but needless to say, we did not venture into that water after he caught
See, I wasn't...
Shamu.
I did some research.
I mean,
the county we were in has had 7 shark attacks reported since 1892.
I've seen 7. Jaws. I have seen Jaws. And Jaws 2 and Jaws 3. I know what happens. But I lost my leg.
I just felt the need to call you out for acting like a little girl.
I wasn't. I was not acting like a girl. I was.
You were
actually.
You were a little bit happy at that point, right? That was the night of the tequila shot.
Yeah, that was a tequila shot night.
This is one of the prouder Brent Bloom moments you'll ever hear, people. So,
I was on vacation, so I wasn't working. So
no.
It's okay.
Well, what do you have to defend yourself?
Well, I mean,
for?
Some people might think I'm an alcoholic.
We don't have kids.
It's true.
It's just us and our wives, future wife for you. Like we're going to have some beers on vacation. Big deal. So we had been at the pool all day drinking with these, but talking to these German gals,
mm-hmm.
which we found very intriguing. And don't read into that, people. These are girls who, our wives were there. Okay, this is not, it's nothing sexual. Don't play into that. I know the fanatics listening to this, and I know how your mind works. It was nothing like that. We're talking about social issues mainly, like because these girls were like judging America and everything. They're cool about it, but they're like, why are you all so foolish with how you spend your money? And like, we got into some real philosophical stuff.
Since they were, I think they were what, probably, I don't know how old they were.
They were like upper.
But I wasn't going to bring up like World War One and World War Two on them.
They brought it up to me, though. She goes, because that one gal goes, everybody hates us because of Hitler and because of how we talk, because they say it sounds mean. That's what she told me, and it does.
And it kind of does.
Yeah.
But no, it was an interesting discussion.
We talked to these gals for like 2 hours. We talked about Lucas Steiger.
You talked about Rammstein.
Rammstein, the Du Hast.
Du Hast.
Du Hast mich.
Which is really sounds angrier than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that whole song's about like a man who loves his, but she left him.
Really
a letdown. It's a love song.
Really a letdown.
We had them transcribe that for us. So it was a lovely, good 2 hour conversation. That was the hottest day we're down there. The Bush Light was flowing. It was flowing. We get back up. Bloom had lost a bet prior in the day where.
By a minute.
Yeah. So Bloom was spouting off about this internal clock that he has in his head and how he could tell time without and he was wrong.
I was wrong by a minute.
You were wrong. So Bloom had to take a shot at tequila. Now if he would have been right, I would have had to take the shot at tequila. Bloom, your fiance, by the way, is just a gem. I mean, she like makes you breakfast. My wife hasn't made me breakfast. I don't know if she's ever made me breakfast in my entire life.
She realizes the specialness of her waking up every day, I'm sure.
Next to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You know, who wouldn't?
Anyways. So not only is Bloom going to have to take this shot of tequila, but his wife, she gets him a lime. She goes and cuts up a lime so he has a nice chaser.
Like salt ready.
And salt. Like, she gets him everything. And I'm thinking, okay, if I would have to take a shot, my wife just would have flipped me the bird and told me to do it and then told me not to puke later. That's what would have happened.
Mm.
Bloom takes the shot, slams it down, and goes, I don't need your lime. Keep it. How epic is that?
It was a lot like Nas Long against Oklahoma State.
Just the shot?
Yeah. Just.
It was impressive.
No big deal.
As down as I was on you for the shark deal, I was high on Bloom after that. That was impressive.
The fanatics know now. Do you get tequila?
I hate tequila. I can't handle it.
I like the tequila.
Just can't handle
Probably
it.
Had a little too much. But good times. Good times. Now back to business.
Back to business, which is the Mr. B Clothing Podcast.
40-degree rainy weather.
Stopped into Mr. B today.
How's Timmy?
Great. Got a video coming up. Stay tuned for that here over the next couple of days. That's all I got. We need to wrap this puppy up. Exciting things coming. I can't wait to make some announcements. We're stepping our foot on the gas, buddy.
Gonna be a good summer.
You in? You're not jumping ships?
No, I'm.
Is Trey Scott or Paul Clark or the Register? Any of those guys been courting you?
I'm a hot commodity. No, you're the tour guide, and I'm just following along.
I can hear.
And you got two working ears.
But and again, it wasn't the guy's disability.
No, not at all.
It was in what we were doing. Like, we could have been drowning been able to yell at the tour guide.
The fact that we had to sign waivers beforehand, too.
Yeah.
Like, you could die here. When I sign a waiver, I want a little bit of a backup.
I want to know if I yell at that guy.
He's going to hear it.
And like I said, just put an assistant on the back of his kayak. It's all you got to do. We're not saying he can't do the job, because he was a great kayaker.
If we were both eaten by sharks on a kayaking excursion, then Gray's running Fanatic, and you will all lose. So, that's our concern.
Oh.
Just kidding, Adam.
On that note, so long, everybody. He's Brent Bloom. I'm Chris Williams. We'll be back next week. Take care.